Now look like now Greg looks like he's being summoned to heaven.
Oh.
It's better than the alternative.
Oh, he's Jewish. Send him back down. He doesn't belong in this heaven.
You took the wrong escalator, sir. Your escalator goes down.
Yep. Jesus. Jesus Christ.
So far, I'm having a lot of fun.
History Defeats Itself is a comedy podcast. Kevin, John, and Greg are not experts, historians, or even all that smart.
Hello and welcome to History Defeats Itself. My name is Kevin Rosenquist. Thank you for joining us. We are a comedy podcast that wonders why do people never seem to learn why? From our history.
Why?
Of course, I am joined by my two co-hosts, two men who are also being sued by Elon Musk for the rights to the Handjob Hut franchise, Greg Mitchell and John Banks.
Hey, Kevin. We got a lawyer up, apparently.
You what? What'd you say?
We have to lawyer up.
Well, Kevin's our attorney. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm still taking those night classes, just not real consistently.
I believe in you.
Okay. Well, that makes one of us.
Yep.
Did you guys hear about that? How he's suing OpenAI, Elon Musk?
For what?
How do you do that?
Well, he's basically, so he helped found it, but then they wouldn't let Tesla buy the company. So he left, and now he's suing them, saying that their original mission was supposed to be as a nonprofit, even though there are emails circulating about him telling them that a nonprofit's never going to work and you got to make money in order to do this. So he's a fucking whack job, that guy.
He really has gone off the rails. Like, I don't know.
Nuts, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's his fault. Is he still the richest guy on the planet?
I think it's like him and Bezos just keep going back and forth, I think.
Yeah, and so it's not really their fault anymore. You go crazy. Too much money, too much power, not enough taxes. You know,
it's definitely not enough taxes.
Everyone's got to cross
the
bear.
It's weird that we have this whole belief that just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you're good at everything, right? So it's like he's certainly good at building companies, and he's definitely good at scaring people into working or whatever he does. But it's like, you know, just because you're good at starting a company doesn't mean you know everything. And that's the way, like, it's like anytime a billionaire talks, people are like, oh, so-and-so said this. It's like, yeah, but they were good at one thing and they're very good at that thing. Right. But it's like, or they're, as far as financially, they've done very well, but it doesn't mean that they know everything.
Like John, for example, is really, really good at growing a beard.
Yes.
And then everyone assumes that he's going to be good at a podcast, and he's just not.
I know.
I don't think people assume that. They assume he's going to be good at, like, I don't know, like fishing from a canoe or something like that.
Just living off the land in general.
Yeah, just living off the land. Exactly. Yeah. If the shit goes down, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to die early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that'll be the way I know what to do.
Not the right horse to back there.
Yeah. If the Whole Foods closes during the Civil War, I'm fucked. So
I was reading about how Whole Foods is thinking about, like, making their stores much smaller.
Oh, okay. Well,
because they're not making enough money on their $95 chicken.
Well, like, did you hear about Macy's? So Macy's is like closing a bunch of stores, and then they're going to rebrand the ones more towards wealthy clients and make them much smaller.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah. And then Whole Foods might do the same.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the class division, we have more poor people and more rich people, and the middle class is eroding. So I think that's probably a good move on Macy's part.
I know, right? I think that actually is pretty smart. Hey, I just realized, am I the only one drinking?
I'm drinking water. So,
okay. Well, I didn't do my shot, my lone shot, which is now I just look like an alcoholic, not like,
I mean, you've looked like an alcoholic for years. So this is not the moment.
I'm a fun alcoholic.
I mean, are you though? I played shuffleboard with you, and I was like, why the fuck are we playing shuffleboard?
What? I thought you guys were going to move here. You had so much fun.
I mean, we did have fun, but not the shuffleboard.
Does Kevin jiggle a lot when he plays shuffleboard? I could see him being a shuffleboard jiggler.
A jiggler?
Yeah, like he jiggles.
No, you're getting confused. I'm a juggalo.
Oh,
yeah. Only that's when I play shuffleboard, though.
That's why he's so pale. That black makeup really stands out on his pale white face. So.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was fun. Let's get to the
how are you, Kevin?
Oh, I forgot. I am doing very well. Thank you, John. And I do not expect any guest appearances by my son today. So we should be fine.
Well, that's a shame, bummer, because that was a highlight.
It was probably the best part of the entire show ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Agreed. In history of the show. In the history of defeating itself.
All right. The year is 1719.
Okay,
In France, a man named John Law convinced the government to back a company controlling trade in the French territories of North America. The promise of vast wealth led to an investment frenzy. In 1720, the bubble burst when it became clear that the expected riches were vastly exaggerated and the company could not fulfill its promises, resulting in financial ruin for many investors. Also in 1720, the South Sea Company formed...
Froze.
What?
You froze.
You froze.
Did I really?
You really did. But this isn't important. I'm back now.
I haven't really listened since you said, "Welcome to History Defeated." It's okay.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. The South Sea Company, formed in 1711, was granted a monopoly to trade with South America and promised to assume a large portion of the national debt accumulated during the War of Spanish Succession. In 1720, speculation drove the company's stock prices to unrealistic heights based on exaggerated claims of potential profits from trade. When investors realized the profits were nowhere near expectations and the company's trade prospects were not as lucrative as advertised, the bubble burst. Stock prices plummeted, causing widespread financial ruin among investors, which included many members of the British aristocracy. No, how do you say that? I sound like John.
I'm not going to jump in and help you.
Aristocracy?
Atrocities.
Atrocities.
Have you guys heard the Gilbert Gottfried joke, the aristocrats?
Well, it's not just his. It's
not just his. It's like legendary.
Well, I meant his fucking version. You guys just have to pick everything apart. You know what I meant?
Isn't that basically like a family that just like fucks each other?
His version, you got to listen to it. So we're going to pause while you can go to YouTube. Because it's fucking incredible.
Okay, well, that's for another episode. So the reason I mentioned both of these is because they both could have and should have been warnings to people in the future. But of course, humans never learn from their history. Which brings us to the early 19th century. Europe was awash with tales of new lands, rich in resources, and ripe for colonization. This era, marked by the end of the Napoleonic Wars, saw a surge in speculative investments and a collective yearning for new beginnings.
Collective yearning? Urinating?
Yeah, I guess I said that weird. Yearning. Amidst this backdrop, we find a charismatic Scottish soldier who saw an opportunity to exploit the era's mix of optimism and naivety.
Was it Glenn Close?
No, you're close, though. No pun intended. He concocted one of history's most audacious and tragic scams, the Poya scheme. And the man was Gregor MacGregor.
Oh, fuck yeah, it was.
Yes.
Gregory MacGregor.
From Gregerton.
From Gregertown. He's the mayor. Like,
Why McGregor McGregor? Why? Why would you do that?
Because that's awesome.
Because you start running out of names after a while.
Greg, did you see that the Colorado Avalanche just signed a guy named Ivan?
I did see that, yeah.
And the Blackhawks drafted a guy named Marcel. I don't know what it's going on.
It's silly. Oh, man.
Born on December 24th, 1786 in Glengyle, Scotland.
And Glendale, California.
Gregor MacGregor hailed from the MacGregor clan.
That makes sense. That tracks. Yep.
A family with a storied and turbulent history in the Scottish Highlands. The MacGregor clan had a long history of conflict with the Scottish and British authorities, often romanticized in later years. In 1803...
We're a romantic lot.
The Gregs?
Yeah, the Gregs were like, yeah.
All we do is wine and dine each other. And 69.
You know, honestly, this...
And 69.
Wait, you 69 with your family?
But that's how we make our families. We 69 each other.
There's you to go to the next village is like a 5 days walk. You're fucking each other. That's you know. And you're wearing kilts, so it's easy access for everyone.
And you're cannibals.
And honestly, this was I'm glad you wore your hat for this episode. This is perfect.
There we go.
Yeah. Hey, they're always after me to Lucky Charms.
What?
That was basically making fun of two cultures, two birds, one stone. So thank you.
I don't believe that the leprechaun in the Lucky Charms commercials wears a hat like that.
Well, no, he did before 1947. They changed it. 1947, it was just a guy with a beard and a hat. They're always after my Lucky Charms. Kid cereal. It's delicious. Eat it.
Okay.
He was also really mean and killed everybody that tried to get his cereal.
Yeah. They're so always like, after my cereal fucking Lucky Charms.
In the cereal boxes, the prizes were like fingers.
Yeah, there's a darker side that people don't know about.
General Mills is, oof, man.
We're going to get there. Don't worry. That's part of the episode.
I hope so.
Nice.
In 1803, at the age of 16, McGregor enlisted in the British Army, taking advantage of the ongoing military expansions due to the Napoleonic Wars. McGregor's early military service was relatively unremarkable, yet it provided him with valuable experience and a taste for military life.
And a taste for blood.
In a way, yeah.
Uh-oh.
At 16, his prefrontal cortex isn't even completely developed yet. And he's going to go fucking fight in a war. God damn it, Gregor McGregor. Conor McGregor.
McGregor.
That does seem like a bad design in human beings. That it takes us to 25 to be fully developed. So,
good point. And then from there, it's just straight downhill.
It is. You peak at 25. That's terrible.
Peak at 25. Yeah. Then you have inconsistent boners. You wake up in the middle of the night with night terrors.
And boners.
And night boners.
Night boners.
Or it's just terror boners.
I love it. We just came up with a new term, terror boners.
It's like, are you having a sex dream? No, actually, I'm killing people. Look at me, rock hard.
God, that's fucking bad.
It's because I went to war at 16.
Oh, that's good.
Sounds like Gregor McGregor wanted to do this.
He did. He served in various garrisons in Britain and was involved in the British efforts to counter the French influence in the Caribbean.
What's a garrison?
Though he saw little action in these early years.
I don't care about sex life. What was the deal with the...
I think garrisons, as I recall, are like, from my video game days, I think garrisons are like troops or like, you know, like infantry troops or something like that.
It goes platoon, company... Bravo. I was never in the military. Why am I doing this?
And then garrison.
And then garrison. Exactly.
And then it goes John.
Pick
John.
Up a book every once in a while, Greasy Greg.
It goes John Banks. Like, what's that called when you fucking leave your troop?
AWOL.
AWOL. Yeah.
Like on the bus ride there, I was like, these guys are mean. I don't want to do this.
You could die in this war.
Well, just they're yelling at me. It's like, stop yelling at me. I'm doing the best I can. I'm 49 years old and out of shape, and you want me to go to war?
Come on, snowflake.
A garrison is any body of troops stationed in a particular location originally to guard it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I would have thought they could have just called it like a squad.
Like the squad?
So a squad. I don't know.
It's AOC and... what's her name? Omar?
I can't pronounce it. I feel terrible saying that because it makes me seem like a dumb American, but I really can't.
This is where my illiteracy comes into my benefit because
your defense.
People are just like, oh, well, he can't say it because he's stupid.
He can't even say Massachusetts. So, right. It makes sense. Yeah.
It does.
My computer decided to do a diagnostic test here right now. And I don't know. I don't know.
Let's hope
why.
It doesn't restart.
Might.
Okay, well, let's move forward. In 1805, McGregor married Maria Bowater, the daughter of an admiral in the British Navy.
How old was she?
Doesn't say.
She was a mature woman at 13. It's 1805, so.
This union connected him with British high society and provided him with a measure of financial security. However, his wife's death in 1809 and his subsequent resignation from the British Army marked a turning point in his life, leading him to seek fortune and adventure elsewhere.
Hmm.
He had a restless spirit.
What is she?
Who doesn't?
And a good amount of ambition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good combo.
What killed Miss Bowweatherwater?
You know, I actually looked that up and nothing. They don't know. Like
nothing
probably.
Her, she's still alive?
No, she definitely died. But she they think it probably, just given the time period, that it was probably disease.
Or giving birth to her ninth child.
Could be that too.
Yes.
I don't think they had kids.
No.
I mean, he probably killed her. Let's be honest.
He was actually H.H. Holmes.
I mean, look at this. 1805, they got married, and in 1809, she died, and they didn't have any kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not normal for that time period.
Mm-mm. Foul play.
Killed her.
Yep. You heard it first.
All right. So his restless spirit led him to the Americas, where he became involved in the complex and tumultuous struggles for independence from Spanish colonial rule.
Did he also have a hankering for waffles?
Is that
I'm scrolling.
I think we have a restless. I think it goes hand in hand with a restless spirit.
Ah, oh.
I have heard that. He arrived in Venezuela in 1812, marking the beginning of his participation in the Latin American Wars of Independence.
Could you imagine
He sought to carve out a name for himself far from the British Isles?
Can you imagine how funny everyone thought his accent was?
In Venezuela?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. How'd they understand what the hell he was saying?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but he still sounded funny.
I agree. I think he probably did. MacGregor's military exploits in Latin America were characterized...
He could have used Google Translate.
Yeah, that would help. That would definitely help. Saved me when we went to Peru, I'll tell you that much.
It is pretty awesome.
Because Sheena and I did like the Duolingo Spanish...
That doesn't work.
It does not work when you're taking a vacation to a Spanish speaking
country. It teaches you how to read. Because I've been doing it for years. I can read a lot of Spanish, but to speak it is like un momento por favor.
Yeah, it's like slow down. I will tell you that we used lo siento quite often, which for all you people out there who don't know means I'm sorry.
Lo siento, I shit my pants in a cold. En español, por favor.
Mi amo es Kevin, y yo soy muy, muy, muy blanco.
Muy blanco? Is that what I said? Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. Where the hell was I? He aligned himself with the likes of Simón Bolívar and contributed to several key battles. However, his tendency to embellish his achievements began to emerge during this period.
Are you sure his name wasn't John Banks?
I'm pretty sure I wasn't there.
John Banks embellishes a lot.
You think?
Remember his application for the podcast?
It's true. Yeah. Guys, it's not. Oh, Jesus. Dennis Wax is calling me.
I don't think you could put that in the podcast.
I just ignored it. I ignored it. And
don't
then he
make me edit this out.
No. I want the world to know.
No one knows who he is.
Yeah, but he's going to sue you
for using his name.
Stranger things have happened.
I hope he does, because then that means he's a listener. So, and that'll make me happy.
We gained one. All right.
Yay.
So,
Venezuela. It was
during his time in Latin America, Gregor MacGregor fabricated the existence of Poya, a supposed territory along the Mosquito Coast in Central America.
Yeah.
MacGregor claimed he was a cazique of Poya, and a cazique was a tribal chieftain or local political boss in Latin America.
All right.
He claimed he had been given the title by the local Mosquito King.
Wasn't Harrison Ford in the Mosquito Coast, that movie?
I remember the movie. I don't know if I ever saw it, but I definitely remember the movie. I don't remember who was in it.
I just remember a lot of bad acting.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I got nothing. But I know that a lot of people from Ireland at that time were going to South America to help them fight in that war. That was a very common thing from Scots and Irish to do. So.
So
you guys never appreciate the things that I know.
No, I like it. It's very impressive. It's hard because sometimes you say things like you know them, but they're completely fabricated.
That's
kind
true.
Of like our buddy McGregor.
That's true. Point. And as a counterpoint, I don't enjoy them.
That is a counterpoint. Yeah, I mean that's valid.
It's hurtful, but yeah, I can see that you have a point.
I don't like your contributions.
It's fair.
I, for one, could do without. I'm just kidding, John. You're very, you know, I had someone talk to me about like the three of us, and they definitely pegged John, and yes, pegged John as kind of a nerd.
Aw.
But most nerds are smart, and I just don't. I guess John knows some shit.
I mean, what kind of nerd am I, though? Because I'm not like a gamey. I'm not like a D&D nerd. I'm not a...
When you said gamey, I was like, where is he going with this?
He doesn't shower, for sure.
I'm not all randy.
Like, yeah, he tastes a little funky, you know? Like a little wild.
Yeah, what kind of nerd am I?
Feral.
Who was this person?
I can't tell you. It was my mom.
That John, he's a nerd. God damn it,
what an adorable nerd.
It's true.
Oh, my mom loves John Banks.
Aw.
Oh, my mom loves John Banks. She's always like, oh, who's that guy at the wedding? I was like, John Banks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, mom. Jesus Christ. I'm badly fucking adorable. Fuck this guy.
If you're 70 and over,
mom.
Adored.
Right mom. In your wheelhouse.
Put it away, mom.
All right, so Poya, Gregor McGregor claimed, was on the Bay of Honduras' shores near the Black River in what is today part of Honduras and Nicaragua. He crafted an elaborate narrative describing it as a developed country with an established capital city named St. Joseph. He boasted of its mild climate, fertile land, and abundant natural resources, including gold and silver mines, as well as a welcoming indigenous population.
Did they have a bunch of wart? Do they have a bunch of wart mines too?
Wart?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're missing.
St. John's wart
mine. Oh, no. Yeah. It was St. Joseph, though.
Thank you for oops.
It was St. Joseph, so you went really way too
so
obscure.
Speaking
with that
of
one.
Not liking people's contributions.
I just felt like I should fit in.
Yeah, that's you probably should have nailed that one after that comment, Greg.
See John? Do you see John Flex's mustache right there?
Well, no, guys, it's so I'm training it. It's and so you it literally is. I have wax in it, but it's like the hair is good. And I have to like keep pushing.
Oh, okay. Well, your mustache keeps humping my leg, so maybe.
Yeah, I know. It's I had somebody that and we've made this joke, but another friend of mine. She was like, you know, she's like, I feel like your beard is like super conservative. I'm like, definitely. I'm like, yeah. This part of my face, very misogynist and racist. All of this, not this. Man, oh man.
I don't understand. Do people with long beards, are they typically racist and misogynist?
I mean, I think that's the it's like I look very Trumpy, I think, or like whatever, you know, I'm not real sure, but it certainly a bit had more than one person tell me that recently.
Uh-huh. So, but then they start talking to you and they realize you're just a little sweetheart of a guy.
They realize I'm a nerd.
Well, my mom did.
Uh-oh. Kevin, you're gone, buddy.
We cannot hear you, Kevin.
Can't hear you. We can see you, but can't hear you.
Yeah, I accidentally muted myself.
Okay.
Man, how long have I been muted? I had a bunch of gems in there.
Like, no, I didn't hear any of those.
None of them.
I keep clearing my. I have to keep clearing my throat. I don't know why, but I keep muting myself. All right, stop distracting me. All right.
Are you talking to yourself?
Poya was depicted as a paradise for settlers and investors, with established laws, a democratic government, and even its own currency.
What was it called? Poyas? Potin?
Popos? Bitpoya. Solid. Nice. Okay, you're back, Greg. You're back. Yeah, nice.
I'm training my mustache, too.
Yeah.
My muzzy.
Mm-hmm. So, McGregor returned to London in 1822, armed with detailed maps, a flag, and even a constitution for Poya. he launched an aggressive marketing campaign to promote Poya to the British public. He published a guidebook called...
That guy wanted to justify all the expenses he had at the strip clubs. He's like, look at all this work I did. And Yammer's like, you know you're full of shit. You fucking wrote it on the way over here. Made it all up.
I wonder if the full nude clubs back then served alcohol.
It's like that scene in fucking where Rob Reiner's in Wolf of Wall Street and he's like talking about, oh my God, you spent $7,000 at the strip club. Just me. I'm the only one that saw Wolf of Wall Street.
No, I remember the scene. I thought you were going to talk about it. I thought you were going to say something else.
No, so, I get, that's all I got.
I didn't finish it. I watched about half of it.
Okay.
You're muted again, Kevin. Kevin, you're muted.
Kevin, we can't.
You're muted.
God damn it, I did it again.
Why are you muting yourself?
Well, I'm muting myself because I'm coughing.
Right, but you're too stupid to unmute yourself.
That is very true.
You're too stupid to just cough. Just cough.
Jesus. Somebody has dementia.
I said I'm watching Killers of the Flower Moon right now, and I'm three sessions in. I mean, it's a long fucking movie.
Is it good? Are you liking it?
It's a hard watch, but it's good. Yeah. I mean, the acting's phenomenal, and it's Scorsese and all that, so it's really, really well done. Yeah,
I haven't seen Al Pacino kill everybody?
What's that?
At what point does Al Pacino walk in and just start killing
people? I
haven't
seen him yet, but okay, it's probably happening. I mean, that's probably going to happen. All right, so...
Actually, Al Pacino's the one that got whacked in the last one.
Oh, so, yeah, you're right.
So is this his revenge film?
Killers of the Teamsters. So he published a guidebook called Sketch of the Mosquito Shore, including the territory of Poya, which detailed the geography, climate, and potential of this made-up territory.
Was that
presenting
a coffee
table
book?
Presenting it as an idyllic location for settlement and investment. The book was a key tool in convincing people of the reality of Poya.
Man.
To bolster the credibility of his claims, McGregor produced false documents and testimonials from settlers who had supposedly thrived in Poya. He even went so far as to create a Poyasian currency and governmental bonds, which were sold to investors.
It was called Poyasian. So
I don't know what it was called, but it was a Poyasian currency.
Oh, okay.
It was crackers. They use crackers. Right.
It was called the McGregor. The McGregor.
McGregor's persuasive narrative and fabricated evidence convinced a wide range of individuals from nobles to commoners to invest their fortunes in Poyasian land and securities. He managed to enlist the support of notable London banks and brokers, further legitimizing the scheme in the eyes of the public. Fucking banks. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, different time, obviously. It's like early 1800s, but still, that's kind of fucked up.
Well, when you said fucking banks, I thought you were talking about John for a second.
I was like, I didn't do anything.
Oh, no. He got fucking banks to London banks and brokers to like back him. That's insane. It's insane.
I think you just have to mention like gold mines and silver mines, and it's like, ooh, I'll invest now.
Yeah, it's true. Alongside financial investors, McGregor also recruited settlers willing to embark on the journey to Poya, promising them land and prosperity. Entire families, seduced by the promise of a better life, sold their possessions and prepared to relocate to this non-existent paradise.
And Hep C.
And A and B.
They're relocating to Hep C?
Yeah. That's what they're going to get for sure.
Welcome to Hep C, population, all of you.
Symptoms may include pain.
I don't know what the symptoms of Hep C are. I just know you don't want it.
Yeah. It kills your liver.
Oh.
You need that.
I don't need that.
Yep. Well, I mean, you're already doing enough damage to your liver.
That's so. What I'm saying. I don't need any more damage done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, John.
I did a physical on Monday. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't do it at home. I went and had it done.
I did a self physical. I told myself to cough, turn my head and cough.
I did some blood work, and I was like, "Yeah, I got blood." Don't look. Probably shouldn't
it's
use
it everywhere. I probably should have had a professional do this.
How'd it go? Did you get your results?
So one of the things is my chloride is high, and first of all, I didn't know that I had chloride in me.
Stop drinking bleach.
Stop eating toothpaste.
Yeah. But it's somehow it's related to, it's like a precursor for having high sodium. So
And then what does that mean?
That means
Jesus, you're getting old. You're getting shit.
Hypertension.
My dad has high sodium.
Yeah.
He's in his 70s.
Good job, John. You're an overachiever, buddy.
I said it was a precursor. I didn't say I had it. I'm like on my way to it.
It's got
to
be your beard and mustache wax. It's all
are
salt.
You a heavy salter?
I'm not. I'm not. But
I am a heavy salter.
But yeah. I eat out too much. I eat like for lunch. I get too much fast food for lunch. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say, I love sandwiches. Like I love like going to like Jersey Mike's.
Let me correct that.
Yeah, that's
love
actually
a sandwich.
And you know, there's a lot of salt. There's a lot of salt in the meat.
Oh, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's yoga mat.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's Subway. Jersey Mike's. They don't use yoga mat. They use Pilates mats in their sandwiches. So
very progressive.
They so the first
rent from you.
So the first group of settlers departed for Poya in 1822, filled with hope and excitement for their new lives. They were followed by another group in 1823. Both expeditions were based on trust in McGregor's promises and the dream of a utopian settlement where they could thrive away from the economic difficulties of post-war Britain.
Two things that would have really helped, I think, would be a GPS satellite so
yes.
people could have seen that there was no Poya, and
that
two, email so the people who, just in case they missed that there was no Poya, when they got there, they could email their families and be like, don't come.
Don't come here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this was a bad idea.
It has high-speed internet, but other than that, not a paradise.
Internet, surprisingly awesome, but nothing else.
And I get a cell signal anywhere. It's so weird.
But I can't eat.
Yeah, and I have Hep C. So
I have Hep C, along with everybody else.
And I have a lot of chloride.
Because we're all fucking.
That's right.
Of course, McGregor did not join either expedition. He remained in London, continuing to promote the scheme and collect funds from unsuspecting investors while the settlers ventured into the unknown.
Where were they going?
They were going to basically what is now Honduras and Nicaragua.
Where the Black Sea comes out to the ocean.
Okay. So they were going
Rio
somewhere.
Negra.
I said that earlier, but maybe I was muted. Stupid Kevin.
Man, that's so... Like, go McGregor. You know, like, I mean...
Yeah, they're not going to be back for a while.
Yeah.
He must have been pretty persuasive, pretty charismatic, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he probably played upon their weaknesses, their desire to escape post-war Britain. And,
oh, you do listen to me.
And have a utopian life and what have you.
Yeah, and I listen what to have
little,
you.
I listen to a little bit of it.
Yeah, so you can, yeah, you have about 35%. I like that.
That's all you need. That's a C-.
So are you ready to hear how this went?
I'm assuming great. Everybody lived and Poya's a real place.
Prospered and yeah. Mm-hmm. So the settlers' arrival in Poya marked the beginning of a harrowing ordeal that starkly contrasted with McGregor's grandiose promises. The dream of a prosperous new life in a utopian paradise quickly dissolved into a desperate struggle for survival.
Okay. I've seen that movie before.
Yeah. It's not an uplifting movie.
So it's basically like The Revenant.
Or The Day After Tomorrow.
With Leo DiCaprio.
No,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, that guy was the biggest badass ever.
Well,
I forget what his name was.
Probably happened to all the people, though.
What's
that? You're talking about Revenant?
What did I say?
No, you did say that. You're saying that character was a badass.
I'm saying that character was a badass. Yeah, he should have died like 15 times.
Yeah. But didn't he eat people?
Only if he had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, survival, man. I'd eat both of you.
You're so judgy, John.
Yeah.
I'd eat John Mike's way. That's a Jersey Mike's joke.
Lettuce, tomato, onion.
That's pretty solid.
A little olive oil, oregano, some vinegar.
I'd definitely eat John toasted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to be toasted to eat John.
Aw. Wait.
That is sweet.
Yeah.
I hope that meat cutter cuts off your beard, though, before. I don't want your fucking beard hair.
Yeah, no one wants
sandwich.
To eat the beard. Yeah.
Man, you can tell who skinned an animal out of the three of us and who has not.
Yeah, I have not.
I've never skinned an animal either.
I was going to say. Like,
I just know the beard won't matter because you take the skin off of what you're going to eat. So you'd have to skin me first.
Not chickens?
Well, you fucking lost, didn't you? You fucking, you got yes, all cocky. You got cocky. And you know what happened?
I lost the cannibal competition. You're right.
You did. And what are chicharrones? Aren't they skin?
Yeah. Chicharrones. John, how about that?
I mean, I got nothing. I am defeated.
John defeats himself.
Yes.
History defeated John.
So let's see here. The settlers were not, the settlers were met not by the developed infrastructure and welcoming communities described by McGregor, but by the unforgiving wilderness of the Mosquito Coast. The area was dense with jungles, swamps, and rivers, lacking any of the promised amenities or cultivated lands. There was no city of St. Joseph. There were no roads, no houses, no farms, only the untamed natural world. Can you imagine getting off that fucking boat?
This is like that Fire Island documentary.
You know, it's funny. I was telling Sheena about she asked what I was doing for my topic, and I told her, and she was like, oh, it's like the Fire Festival, kind of. And yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, obviously, you'll see that this is a little worse, but but yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, like people get there and they're like, what the fuck is this? I mean, I can't even imagine, like, what, yeah, it's awful.
It's like your parents telling you they're going to take you to Hawaii, but instead they take you to a Margaritaville. So, no, nothing. All right.
I like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
That was, you know what you call that, Greg? You call that a yes and.
Yes and, that was stupid.
But he got on board.
But hey, it's just yes and. You don't continue it after that, Greg.
Right.
The settlers, many of whom were city dwellers with little to no survival skills, found themselves woefully unprepared for the realities of frontier life. The tropical environment with its plethora of mosquitoes and stagnant waters became a breeding ground for disease. Malaria, dysentery, and other tropical diseases quickly took their toll on the settlers, who lacked immunity and adequate medical supplies. The high morbidity rate led to despair and desperation among the survivors.
In fairness, though, it sounds like a great weight loss plan.
I mean, if you're big,
that's what
you're going to survive, but quicker, you know, better than anyone else.
Everybody's doing like the Atkins and the like, all the caveman diet, like all these do the Poya diet.
John's dying 3 hours into this ordeal.
Oh yeah,
he died on the ship. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't go again. I'd be just like, guys, this is like, look at me.
For all the stupid shit he said, he probably died.
Oh,
sorry. I'm just assuming you have the same personality back then. Hey, could they just get back on that fucking boat and go back home?
Apparently not.
Yeah, they probably only had enough supplies to get them there.
Well, there weren't any supplies there.
Yeah, so no, I know, but
I would have tried to risk it and eaten John on the way back.
But I would die after 3 days. So like, what are you going to, just going to, I guess, marrow?
I would have kept one of your legs.
Yeah. Well, he did he used to be a runner, so like that's probably the best one to go with.
Is that John's leg? No, it's not.
Well, I'm not at all. There's something else.
Got any barbecue sauce? John's really good with barbecue sauce.
So how many do you know how many people went?
So I will get there. Without the promised fertile lands and stocked stores, settlers faced severe food shortages. The jungle provided limited edible resources for people unaccustomed to hunting or foraging in it. And the lack of agricultural infrastructure made it impossible to grow sufficient foods, so starvation became a real and present danger. So cut off from the outside world, the settlers' initial hopes for rescue or relief from Poya were dashed when they realized the extent of McGregor's deception. Their isolation was complete, with little chance of making their way back to civilization without assistance, Greg. The plight of the settlers eventually reached the ears of the British authorities and other settlements in the region. Rescue missions were organized, but for many, help came too late. Those that were saved carried with them the physical and psychological scars of their ordeal. The exact death toll is unknown, but roughly 250 people left for Poya, and a very few amount made it back.
Damn.
That sounds terrible.
Damn, yeah. Dude, that is fucking cold.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But so it gets better.
Did he start a travel agency?
McGregor Travel. You're probably not coming back, just so you know.
Don't worry, the British government will save some of you.
We'll save a handful of you. Do you want to be part of that handful? Come to McGregor Travel.
95% of our customers don't complain because they've died.
The survivors who return to Britain face not only the personal trauma of their experiences, but also financial ruin because they had invested their life savings in the Poya venture.
They sound like a bunch of pussies.
Well, they sound like a bunch of stupid people, that's for sure. The return of the settlers and the stories of their suffering sparked outrage and disbelief. However, the allure of Poya had been so strong and McGregor's fabrication so complete that some initially doubted the survivors' accounts, believing them to be an unfortunate aberration rather than the outcome of a deliberate scam.
Damn.
This guy should, the same like, way he people should really defend like Trump.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's like you got proof right before your eyes and you're like, no, it didn't happen to me. Me, 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 me. McGregor would never do that to us. And McGregor's like, I could walk right down the middle of Main Street and fuck, shoot somebody.
Grab him by the pussy.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. That's just McGregor locker room talk. No big deal.
If you knew the McGregor clan, you'd understand.
You know, Pola's great. Poya.
Poya.
Poya. Let's get some El Poya Loca.
So once it was confirmed to be a huge scam, the public reaction was a mix of outrage, disbelief, and fascination. Newspapers and pamphlets of the time covered the story extensively, with many condemning McGregor's deceit, while others were bewildered by the audacity of the hoax.
I am bewildered at this audacity. Is that? I feel like.
Hang on, let me scroll a little bit. Oh yeah, no, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Or I guess I am bewildered at this audacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Oscar goes to. Nope. It's not me.
Gregor McGregor.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, McGregor faced minimal legal consequences in Britain. They lacked the framework for prosecuting international fraud. So McGregor was never formally charged or tried in a British court for the Poya scheme.
Damn.
And get this. Despite the public scandal and the suffering of the Poya settlers, and of course the death, McGregor's thirst for grandeur and wealth remained unquenched. He left Britain for France, where he attempted to replicate his Poya scheme, selling land in the non-existent country to French investors.
But this time he had to speak French.
But killing roughly 200 people didn't stop him from doing this again.
And then he became president.
And then it became a hero for the Republican Party. McGregor's activities in France eventually led to his arrest and trial. However, much like in Britain, the legal proceedings did not result in any significant punishment.
And this dude was acquitted due to the
He was acquitted due to the procedural and evidentiary complexities of prosecuting such an unprecedented case of fraud.
This is so difficult. Fucked up. We don't know what to
we
do.
We don't know what to do.
Like, that reminds me of every like model I've ever tried to build. Like, it's just too hard to complete and you just smash it.
Yeah, it's very similar. Very similar.
Thank you.
It's crazy though. Like, I mean, this guy is the reason that a good amount of people died, and
I'm surprised that like one of the survivors didn't track him down and kill him.
I actually thought the same thing. Yeah. When I was initially reading this story, I kind of thought that might be where it's going.
They're too fucking weak, man.
But it's
they
not
have malaria.
So here's the interest. So we're at the ending here. So this is interesting. McGregor returned to Venezuela, where he had previously, remember, served as a general in their fight for independence. Venezuela offered him sanctuary and a pension for his services to the country's independence movement, despite what he had done in Britain.
That's a fucking
good
plan.
Holy shit, right? He fled to Venezuela and they're like, oh, you're good here. And oh, here's some money. Like, so that, cause you helped us. That's cool.
Yeah. You know what? I guess nice guys really do finish last. So
you might be right.
Yeah.
He lived a quiet life in Venezuela until his death in Caracas in 1845.
At the age of 17 and a half.
He was 58.
Oh, that's pretty good. Young. But, yeah. You know, he had a pretty active life. Being in the army at 16.
Did he
die
of malaria?
I tried to find out how he died. The theory is that he probably died of natural causes because that was a pretty solid life back then.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's like, so, I mean, you know, history defeating itself. Obviously, I started talking about how we should have learned. But, I mean, you know, I mean, the Ponzi scheme. You know, the Bernie Madoffs, like all of that, it's Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that we keep falling for this. And to a lesser extent, sure, the Fyre Festival. I mean, I guess though those people had no reason to think that it wasn't going to be real. But I mean, people investing in shit that they have no knowledge about. There's nothing tangible. They haven't heard of. They haven't seen it. They can't see. They can't see legitimate results. I mean, it's crazy.
They were English, though.
That's true.
I'm still surprised, like, that people are super into Bitcoin. And again, I don't understand how this thing has value. And they're like, oh, but it's like every year you can only mine half, or every 4 years you can mine half of what was available. But it's like, okay, but it's nothing. It's like, it's not a tangible thing.
But neither is currency anymore. It's, you know, our currency is no longer backed by gold. So, I mean, there's really, it's kind of an arbitrary thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's the thing, is like the value of a dollar is a dollar. I mean, I know like there's inflation, but it doesn't. In other words, if I just have a dollar, it doesn't increase and be worth $60,000. But if I had a Bitcoin, you know, 10 years ago, it's now worth 60 or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't follow it. But, you know, wherever it's at, it's like tens of thousands of dollars. My dollar doesn't do that. So that's what I don't understand. Like, how the fuck is that? How is it not going to collapse?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's an alternative currency. You know, it's a way to say, hey, let's do something different than what's going on. I'm not advocating for it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what I know about it, and I have some crypto. You know, it's actually up right now, amazingly. But it's, I mean, I don't fucking know.
That's all I have is crypto, but well, I don't understand it.
It's a way to spend money that's not traceable. So they're counting on the fact that, you know, we're going to go to the dark web and purchase, like, the recipe for Del Taco.
that went sideways. But no, I think that like decentralization is an interesting thing in that, because, you know, trying to say, okay, there's not a bank controlling everything. There's not a government controlling everything. And I do find that to be an interesting idea, especially with how corrupt every government is and how shitty banks are, how they don't give a shit about actual people like surviving and doing well and being, you know, prosperous and all that. So, I mean, it is kind of interesting, but I totally understand what you mean, John. I mean, I know we don't have to get into it. I've learned a little bit about how it works and how it's paid, but it doesn't mean I understand how it's got longevity.
Yeah,
sure.
Me neither. And I'm looking to see where Bitcoin's at right now. And it's pretty...
Well, it's big now because they're about to do the halving. So yeah. Like, people are going crazy for it now.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, yeah.
But it'll probably dip again very soon. But that is not at all what my topic was. But thank you for bringing that up. That was nice.
Good work, John.
You're welcome. I don't know if you guys are being serious or dicks. So
I'm not. You know what? I'm gonna be honest. I'm not 100% sure either. I don't know why I said that, and I don't know what my goal was. But
you're like, good job. Thanks.
Well, what do you guys think of Mr. McGregor? What do you think of McGregor?
He sounds like a real fucking asshole.
Was he opportunistic, or was he just a sociopath?
He's a lying, cheating son of a bitch who tried to take advantage of people that he thought he'd never see again and get their money and go. So he's a fucker.
What's interesting to me is like...
His name should have been Fucker or Fucker.
Fucker McFuckface. I'm surprised that he didn't like catch wind of the fact that they were going to rescue these people and get the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, why did he stick around?
Yeah, that is weird.
I mean, because
he's a sociopath. He's
got balls. Have you? It's like, come in. And I guess it also, it was like, you're talking about repeating itself. It's like, you know, the oftentimes financial shit like this, financial crimes, because I guess this would be a financial crime. I mean, it's con, but I guess it'd be a financial crime, right?
Sure. And murder, I guess, in a way. You know, I mean, it's not direct murder, yeah, but definitely murder.
But it's like, we never, like, in other words, if he would have walked in and killed 200 people with a machete, right, they would have hung his ass or something. But it's like, it's weird how if the blood's not actually on your hands,
right,
you know, then, I mean.
Well, I think they would have tried him had they had the ability to do so. It's just, considering it happened overseas, they didn't
I don't know, make something up. You know, yeah. Especially like build something.
They should
build
have at least beat his ass.
Yeah, at least beat his ass. Yeah, totally. And I agree with you, John. I seriously thought as I was reading, I'm like, oh, one of these fuckers or one of their family members is going to go kill this guy's ass. You know, I mean, I just thought for sure that was going to happen. And it didn't. Surprisingly. And he had public support, though. Like,
yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I guess humans don't change. Like, we just, yeah. Like, we definitely, like, we definitely will find a god, either one we can't see or make one on Earth a god. So,
hey, we're trying to potentially elect a president who is under indictment for
all kinds of shit and
all kinds of shit, including leading an insurrection.
Yes.
But yet he's. He might win. Yeah. He might be our next president.
You have a really bad attitude.
A bad attitude? Or yeah,
a bad attitude. You don't really support the president.
Oh, okay. He's not the president.
He was, and he's going to be again. Get in line, buddy.
God, do you think he's going to win?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Fuck.
He already said he's going to lower gas prices to $2 a gallon.
Yeah, let me see that plan, by the way.
He's gonna start trading us off to, I don't know, countries for oil, people for oil. That's what he's gonna start doing.
All right. Well, before we go off on a tangent here, last call. Fuck Gregor McGregor, and while we're at it, fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.